Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight-focused podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tyrone, and joining me this week is Ryan. Welcome back to the show.
Hey! Hello, welcome back. How happy to be here. Welcoming you back as well, because that's a thing I do, because I am also here.
Excellent. It's been a while since we've been on. Kind of life happened in holidays between American Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving, and some personal happenings. We've been kind of busy.
Yep. Turns out when some people die and some things happen, and then, you know, you just get busy with the holidays, and a lot of shit's been going on. It's been weird. Yeah. Interesting, but weird.
Do you do anything for Black Friday? Go shopping? Order stuff online?
Oh, God, no. I don't have the money for that. Oh,
okay.
No. I'm what you like to call working poor.
Okay.
See, I have money for games and cats, and that's about it.
All right.
Hashtag priorities.
Well, at least you know what your priorities are.
Priorities are in cats. It's always in cats.
Very good. So we're going to do just a little bit of catch up, check in with what's been going on the last little while.
It's been a bit. So what have you been up to? What new and exciting things have you been doing in Gameland or in real life, if you feel like sharing?
So I don't think I've mentioned the last tournament I was at. It was just a small... six-person steamroller. It was pretty good. I decided to meme on everybody and play Bethane, and that went as badly as you can expect.
So you went 0-3?
Yeah. No, I didn't, actually. I think I won... I won the second game against in the Legion Mirror.
Bethane won a game?
No, it was Lilith 2.
Oh, okay. Wait, Lilith 2 won a game? What? Is this Mark 2?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. What did I play? So the first round, I played against Retribution, and I chose Lilith, I'm pretty sure. Or I chose Bethane?
I don't know, Lilith seems like the right call out of those two there.
Yeah, this is like a month ago at this point, and honestly my memory's kind of gone of it. But I played Ret, Legion, and Krix, and I think I won the Krix game, but I honestly do not recall.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. My Krix opponent, he's probably the person locally that I have most fun playing against. Pretty much no matter what we put on the table, we somehow managed to find a very entertaining game. I think we're pretty close in skill level, so that really helps.
Oh, so you're both just terrible. Got it.
You know.
No, I'm just messing with you, but... All right,
and
no,
Ryan. Okay, and now it's a solo show. Damn.
All right, well, I see how it is. No, it's important that you have that kind of back and forth with somebody. I've got one or two people locally that I don't care what we drop, I get the same thing where it's like, oh, this is going to be stupid, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm looking for out of tabletop games. I want to just have a good time, you know? If I'm not having a good time, then I don't know why I'm playing.
Not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Exactly. But you've been hella busy, haven't you?
I mean, I don't know about hella busy.
Oh.
I've been busier than I usually am. That's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
I too had a local event about a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right. Same thing. It was only 6 or 7 people, a little 3-round event. Took Lilith 3 and Fianna 2.
All right.
And first round was Lilith 3 into Coven. Was against a guy who's completely like brand... Not brand new, I think he's played a couple games, but like,
yeah,
very new. Like, I watched him deploy, and he had that like very 40k mindset of deployment, where like, everything wasn't on the line and trying to like take a position. He was like, no, these jacks should be behind this, these banes, because they're gonna block them. And like, I think he had things that were like an inch from his table edge, and I just looked at it and was like, is that really where you're deploying stuff? And he's just like, yeah, this is a good plan. I'm like, okay, I'm about to get raffle stomped, or this is going to end real weird. Like, this is either going to work out really well for you, and it's a thing that I just never thought of, or it's going to go super bad.
Yeah.
It went super bad for him.
Bottom of one,
I took out, like, one of the witches in the coven.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, because he dared to walk out of his deployment zone.
Oh, you were playing Lilith. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that would do it.
And then after that, I'm like, okay, well, unless you're going to get really aggressive, your feet no longer matters because you can't actually touch any of my stuff with it.
Yeah.
And the next turn, I just took out one, or I think I took out a second witch and went up like 4 points on scenario and was like, okay, it doesn't really matter what happens here. I have like several outs to end this, so. Yeah.
No, do it.
Yeah, good game, buddy. Round two was Fianna against Baldur 1.
All right.
In Tharn. I ended up beating him 6-1 on scenario, I think on turn four. Funny part of that game was at one point, the only thing he could send in to like contest or do anything was a Storm Raptor. So his Storm Raptor on Spread the Net went down one side of the field, charged like a random Strider or something in my zone, killed it, repoed into the zone, and stood there, was like, haha, now my Storm Raptor's on the other side of the table, and it's contesting your zone, and what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my side of the table and went, let's see, there's a Golab that has Fury on it, and there's a Nerifrite next to it. Both of them walk range of a Storm Raptor. I don't know what you think is going to happen here, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here.
Yeah, that Storm Raptor sounds very dead.
It was. Although I almost got screwed by Plasma Nimbus because Pow-10s, or rather Pow-12s because Skyfire, are still apparently enough to damage Legion Heavies very effectively.
Hmm, color me shocked.
So, that almost ended real badly as, like, I think Golab went in and, like, his first two attacks, he's like, oh, 3 to spirit, 3 to spirit, and I'm just like, stop! don't you dare!
Yikes.
Like, I don't need that in my life, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then round three was into, what the hell was he playing? It was Scorn. I don't remember the caster. Zedesh 2, maybe? I think it was Zedesh 2. And I was losing on scenario and losing on attrition and only had like 30 seconds left. So Fianna went in and killed Zedesh herself.
Great.
She man-moded that game and like I got the last damage roll off like a second before a clock went off and killed him.
Oh, jeez. So, what a legend.
Yeah. Fianna decided to just fucking become a boss and go in there and just be like, nope, Pow 12 for the win, let's do this.
Right on.
So that was a 3-round event, was a lot of fun, and I probably shouldn't have won it, but sometimes luck happens.
Yeah, you know, sometimes your dice roll good and everything comes together.
It, very rarely, but it does happen.
Where was this event?
Collector's Inn, my local store.
Oh, right on.
And then after that, I was up with Miss Becca Banky on Arcane Assist. The episodes have been posted now, so I got 2 games against her where I played Fianna into Wormwood and Kallus 2 into Helena.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun to hang out with them and see all that recorded. And then immediately get yelled at by the internet that I'm apparently an idiot and do everything wrong.
That'll happen.
Yep. I don't know why I was expecting any less.
Well, you want to talk about those games for a bit?
I don't want to spoil if anyone hasn't seen it.
All right. Well, why don't I just provide links to the episodes?
Sure. I can say real quick though that the first game, which was Fianna versus Wormwood, I definitely didn't cheat on purpose.
Okay.
That got pointed out to me after the fact. I apparently mismeasured. And like I have the broken egg sticks.
Yeah.
So like I definitely gave myself an extra inch on my AD because because I measured 10, put the stick down, and then put the other one on the opposite side, not realizing that the sticks are an inch wide. Like, it didn't click in my head.
Right.
So, definitely stole an extra inch on that one.
That's amazing.
But that's more due to me being an idiot than, you know, trying to cheat. And if you watch that game, you'll see it doesn't work out for me anyway. So, if that's how I'm cheating, I'm doing it poorly.
Well, that's okay. You know, at least, yeah, I'm kind of proud of you for doing that. That's super awesome that you got a chance to go play with Rebecca and Evan at the Arcane Assist people. That's awesome. Yeah, that's super cool.
It's always fun to go see them, and it's nice that Black Knight is only like an hour north of me.
Yeah.
Plus bridge traffic, whatever that tends up to be that day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Customs is always weird, right? Like, when I go into Canada, usually I have no problems. It's like, oh, welcome to Canada. You're coming up here to hang out and spend money. Great. We love having you. Yeah. And then coming back, like if I go to the one bridge, I never have any problems. I come back and they're just like, oh, you're up there playing games. Yeah, that's fine. Come back in. You're good. Because one of the local nerds works there.
Mm.
So, like, he must talk about it. So when we come back in and we're like, hey, this is what we're doing. Like, I've had one guy that went up and was coming back and was just like, oh, you're up at a tournament at here? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, how'd you do? I'm like, oh, 3-1 for the day. He's like, oh, that's pretty good. Well, here's your stuff back. Have a good day. And I'm like, thank you.
Sweet.
Question mark?
Right on.
But like any of the other bridges, if I come back, they're just like, why did you leave the greatest country in the world? What's wrong with you? And it's like, ah, stop yelling at me. Like, I'm too sensitive for this. Calm down.
Yeah.
I don't need to get friggin' strip searched at the border. Chill, bruh.
All right, great.
Yeah, customs is weird. That's the point.
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't had my experience with customs.
Oh, you will.
Yep. One day I'll go to the States.
I believe in you. You should come down for like a Adepticon. There we go. That's the name of it.
Maybe.
Come on, it's like 5 days long. You can come hang out for ATC. You could even probably get on the Canadian team for ATC.
Oh, I doubt that very much.
I don't. Get in contact with Becca. I bet you she'd let you do it.
Nope.
I bet you she'd come down for that.
She would most certainly ban me from any team.
I don't think so. She likes you. We had a conversation about you. You're a nice boy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, man. Okay, so why don't we talk about... Oh, actually, one more thing. But
sure.
Have we talked about your Star Wars?
No, we didn't.
We should do that?
Yeah, that ended too. So, that ended with one of my local guys was the winner. I believe he was running Scorn. I want to say he was running Scorn.
Okay.
I'm like 90% sure he was running Scorn. But yeah, the finals were... That was over a month ago now. That was in Rochester, and... yeah, it was a good turnout for the entire 8 or 9 months that it lasted.
Okay.
I'm considering some changes and hopefully getting it started up in the spring again next year. So it was a really fun time, and it was a really cool thing to run and, you know, get different stores involved in. You know, throw a shout out to Jonathan LeClaire, who I stole the idea off of with Baltimore, and then I just kind of modified it slightly, and off we went. So.
Right,
great shout out to him for coming up with the original idea, and then I contacted him months ago when I was getting started to like bounce ideas off of him. Gail Martindale was a great help. Adam Morey and Jacob Tyrell, all great people who, when I needed to, you know, whine and bitch about things, were there to listen and help me out. And I mean, there was a bunch of other people too that I could throw out names for. I'd have to get like a list because there was a hell of a lot of people who helped to make this happen. So
yeah,
it was a great time, and I'm glad you know, I've gotten some compliments for it, and a lot of people seem to enjoy it. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
So if you're looking for doing something similar in your area, feel free to shoot me a message, or I'm sure John wouldn't mind telling you about it and see what you can do. It's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. I feel like we buried the lead a little bit, actually.
We what?
Yeah. Buried the lead. We got a new logo, and it's sick as hell.
Oh yeah, that's a thing that happened. Man, we've been gone for a while.
I know. It's crazy.
I blame the schools.
Sure.
I mean, I gotta blame something.
Okay.
Public education just seems like an easy target.
So, I commissioned a logo from an artist I know personally. You can find her work at Whale Owl Be Damned on Facebook, which, if you read it properly, is pretty funny.
Whale.
Yep, whale, I'll be damned. She's great. She's fantastic. Her art is amazing. And if you have a chance, take a look at her page. And I don't know if she has a store linked into it, but I'm sure if you see anything on there that you enjoy, I'm sure if you message the page, she could get you it with a little bit of cheddar involved. So thanks to her. And one little thing, I've been asked a couple times now if I could get patches made with our new logo.
Ooh, fancy patches.
Yeah, so I looked into it. We could get it done, but I need to have a fair number of people interested. So everyone who's interested in logos, or the patch, the logo as a patch, rather, please comment on this post on the Blightbringers page when it goes up, because I need to get an idea of whether or not it's worth it to get these made.
Yeah, that's not exactly cheap to do something like that.
No.
So, not saying that we won't do it, but it's more of the, if only like four people want it, then...
Yeah, it's not
sorry
feasible.
Four people, that's a lot of money. Unless you feel like fronting the cost for them, in which case, hey, you do you then. I'm not here to judge how you spend your money.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that'll do. If you want a patch, comment on the page. There's some other things I'm looking at maybe doing, but that's in the future.
If you'd like words of sage advice, feel free to wander around New York City and look for Bill Murray. He apparently does that.
Does he now?
Apparently.
That's good to know.
So, you know, right. Two important things here.
I think that's enough housekeeping. We're kind of got caught up on all the stuff that we missed. I guess Warfare Weekend happened not that long ago.
Yeah, it sure did.
About a month ago.
That anyway?
Not JVM. That's for sure.
Ouch. That sounded like a shot at JVM.
No. Certainly
he's our blighted Lord and Savior.
Certainly not. I would never do that to JVM. I'm trying to find the standings.
Yeah, I don't actually remember who actually won that.
I'm going to type discount games Warfare Weekend and see what happens. I know JVM was there, but while he looks this up, why don't we talk about his lists? So, we've got JVM with Lilith 3 in Children of the Dragon, with Azrael, Bolt Thrower, Seraph, Typhon, Zuriel, Succubus, two Shepherds, two Forsaken, and Max Raptors. And the other list, we've got Absalonia 2 in Primal Terrors, with four Blight Wasps, Golab, Nerf, Proteus, Seraph, six Shredders, Amok the Truthbearer, Swamp Gobber Chef, a Forsaken, and two units of Hellmouth. These lists are sweet.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be in the minority here, but I don't really know how I feel about that Abbey 2 list. Like,
Shredders are amazing.
No, I know they are. I am aware that Shredders with Killing Spree and Flank will just go in and eat some shit. Like, that makes complete sense to me. Like, I don't know, it just feels weird to me still that, like, you've got 10 lessers in a list.
Yeah.
Like, that's 30 plus points of your list. 35? 36? 36.
30, like, yeah. 33.
Is it 33?
No. 36, 9, 12, 24. Yeah, 36, sorry.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I didn't think my math was that bad.
No, I just missed one.
But, like, that's 36 points of your list. Like, that's over a third of your list, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, I was goofing with just all Shredders a few times in Arc 3. And they were effective even before the Blight Wasp change, so I'm kind of not surprised.
Wait a minute, you were doing a goof list? What?
I know, I'm always goofing. I can't take this game seriously, are you kidding me?
I know, I've played Indio before. shots fired.
Alright, that was rude. but, so yeah, so Blight Wasp with the new new Hornet's Nest Animus really kind of makes Shredders even more amazing under Abbey 2, because with Feet and Alpha Hunter, they're like, what, speed 8, 2-inch reach,
yeah,
mat 7 or more.
Power 12 Weapon Master, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're insane.
So, like, they're getting 2 attacks apiece, plus whatever they can get off Killing Spree, assuming there's, you know, dudes for them to kill. The hard part with that always seems to be trying to set up flank. So, like, I'm not saying it's impossible, it just seems difficult to do.
Yeah.
And with the amount of, like, tough infantry that's hanging around, I don't know, it always feels like snacking doesn't ignore tough.
No,
you don't really have good ways to get around that. So, like, the single wound infantry that they want to be going after, like, has a non-zero chance of just stopping them in their tracks.
I think you're leveraging Golab for that.
Yeah, but he can't be everywhere.
No, he can't, but you can charge him in, kill something, and then sprint to, like, a beneficial position for a few Shredders.
Right, and then he's kind of standing out in the middle of nowhere with very little defensive tech to, like, keep something big from getting at him. Like, I know, obviously, that's a lot of positioning and making sure certain things can't or can't get there without spending resources, but it just seems weird.
Yeah. No, I like that's fair.
It's something that I personally, I don't know that I would come up with, but it's I think I'm going to test it a little bit to see if, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's actually a lot better than it looks on paper.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jake's just a far better player than I am. I don't know if I would say that personally. He remembers defeat, which is something that I don't do, but
that's important.
It's probably fine. I don't know if I'd say he's like significantly better.
Okay.
He's just won like, you know, a lot of masters and done other things and been to WTC, and I'm excited that I win 3-round events. So we're basically the same, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. No, that's fair. I think that's a pretty reasonable comparison. Dear God. Let's see what else. So I pulled up the DGI tournament listing. So thanks to Discount Games Incorporated, and not Jay, but everybody else who's involved with that.
Yeah, not Jay and his Hellmouth hate.
That's right.
Unwarranted Hellmouth hate.
I mean, to be fair, he hates Sentry Stones just as much. So I don't know. Maybe we should cheer him on a little bit.
Yeah, but Sentry Stones are bullshit, and everyone knows that.
All right. So I've pulled up the list. We got Warfare Weekend Invitational. We've got the top four from that, so congratulations to Ben Beckman playing Rhett, Matt McWaters in second with Kador, Marc-Andre LeBlanc with third place finish with Mercenaries, and Brandon Owens in fourth place with Crucible Guard.
Rhett won an event?
Rhett won an event, man.
I didn't know Rhett was allowed to win things. Have you been on the Rhett Facebook where like they're just complaining constantly that all their stuff is underpowered and needs to get fixed? CID me.
Yeah. Like, is it more Doom and Gloom than the Legion one? Because that Legion one's pretty bad sometimes.
Yeah, it's getting up there with Signar, which is saying something.
Okay, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Don't ever become full Signar. Don't do it.
Don't go full Signar.
Don't do it. I don't care who you are or what's going on. You're better than that.
All right.
Maybe not much better, but still.
What else we got here? So we got the Aussie Super Series. One, the fabled Tom Gwan joined that event after not playing Legion for approximately forever.
International Man of Mystery, Tom Gwan.
Exactly. He joined the Last Chance Qualifier and won that with a pairing of Veil 2 in Ravens of War and Thagros 1 in Children of the Dragon. Which list would you like to hear about first?
I mean, I want to hear about that Thagros 1 list because I have some thoughts on that.
All right, so let's go over that. We got Thagros 1, Prophet Everblight in Children of the Dragon with Azrael, a Carnivian. 2 Bloods. Oh, this list. Okay. Yeah. 2 Bloodseers, Zeriel, Kralix, 2 Spell Martyrs, 2 Forsakens, the Black Frost Shard, and a unit of Hex Hunters with Baal.
It's a full unit, correct?
It is a full unit.
Okay. So, anybody who did some time looking at this list like I have, you're going to notice that like Bloodseers can be arm 24.
24 is correct, yes.
Yes.
Effective arm 24.
Yeah, with, well, 20 against shooting, 24 against melee. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that sounds correct, yes.
So like, they can stand in zones and be hard to kill. And I don't think that they're really doing anything else. Like, they might just be decent telemetry bots, too. So, like, they enable Black Frost Shard a little bit, if you want to get, like, Kiss out or whatever, because yeah, then they go up to Magic 9.
And your Hexes.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's not nothing. So, like, there's definitely some synergy there. But mostly, they're just there to stand there and say, I am ridiculously hard to kill for 8 points. Cool. Hit me. Like, that's it. Like, I can't imagine them doing literally anything else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mat 5, POW 12s are not reliable for anything at all.
No, they're not. They're not amazing, but it seems like this combination of the armor buffs make them very irritating in melee.
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine 14-20 against shooting because Fog of War.
Yep,
and
definitely.
And then being 12-24 in melee is enough to be obnoxious.
Yeah, so we should probably explain how we're getting there, just in case people are missing some things.
Sure, so they start at 18.
Yep.
You've got plus 2 because they can cast the Carnivian Animus.
Yep.
So they can Spiny Growth themselves. And then they get Unyielding from the theme because they're Nephilim. And effectively another 2 from Thagrash's Death Shroud Aura.
That's right. And so, if you get super lucky and you're playing as Living, you can do Kralix to give minus 2 strength, I believe.
Yep. Kralix can weaken some stuff if you're playing against something Living that wants to come in. So Warpwolf Stalker is one that you'll see, maybe a random Titan. Trolls, if you see trolls.
Yeah,
I haven't seen them in a while, but
I don't think they're real.
They're still around. I'm not really sure what you drop into trolls. Honestly, I think Thags 1 isn't a bad bet, but I haven't seen them in so long that I don't actually know.
Yeah.
So they can effectively be Arm 26, and of course, the Death Shroud Aura and Kralix also will give you effective +4 on anything else in the list, and as well as Azrael and Zuriel both gaining unyielding from the theme. So you can make everything in the list relatively hard to kill.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Zuriel still suffers from his lack of damage boxes.
Right, but I mean, even him, he's still going to be a 13, 19 because of unyielding.
Yep.
13, 21 with the aura. 13, 23 if it's against living. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you, again, you can stack it up on him so that he gets to be maybe not impossible to kill, but it's certainly not going to be something that a random Kador heavy with no buffs is going to come in one round.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, considering that's not a thing we usually get.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, the Black Frost Shard in this list wasn't what I was expecting, honestly.
No, me neither.
I was expecting, if you're going to go that route, to go with the Ice Witches, so you get the magic ability 8 sprays over, you know, the damage buff and maybe the Ice Cage / Ice Bolt, but, I mean, it's definitely a decision worth making. I don't think the Black Frost Shard is bad there at all. It's, I don't know, it seems weird because of the output they're going to have, but
yeah,
they are also probably a little bit harder to remove with 5 boxes each and being able to give themselves stealth, so
yeah, it's not
that
nothing.
That probably played a role.
It's not nothing. So quickly, yeah. We'll talk a little bit about the other list. Veil 2 in Ravens of War with an Archangel. What is going on?
Archangel OP.
Okay, Archangel, 2 Carnivians, 2 Harriers, a Bloodseer, Bogtrog Mistspeaker, Kralix, 2 Deathstalkers, a Forsaken, and 2 Hellmouth units.
Yeah, this list confuses me.
like
it, legitimately, it does. I can only imagine it's Hellmouths going zones or near enough zones to contest. Right? Yeah. Bloodseer is literally just there for telemetry on Vale so that she's a magic 10 and, like, maybe doesn't have to boost if going for the assassination run or just wanting to blow something up.
Yeah.
And then casting the Archangel Animus. And then you're relying on Archangel and Carnivian Sprays to kill, like, a bunch of other stuff and then, you know, still be able to send in heavies to close out the late game.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it should work, honestly.
I don't know. You got the Harriers, they kind of support the Deathstalkers and Kralix, making them rat ridiculous.
Yeah, it also helps with, the Carnivians and the Archangel, because then they go up to rat 7, effectively. 7 on the Carnivians, 8 on the Archangel, I think.
That sounds correct, yeah.
So, like, then if you have to throw out Icy Grip, you can turn them to, you know, rat 9, 10 in each. So, like, they'll be able to reliably hit high-def infantry at that point. But it's still, I don't know, it seems weird.
Is Veil 2 the one with Icy Grip?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's got Icy Grip, and then the Veil 1's got Insight and Chiller.
Oh, yeah, okay, Chiller. I was confusing it with Chiller.
I can't think what her spell is actually called now, but it gives out Chiller.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's not important.
No.
I think, but Veil 2 also has Boundless, which on Carnies is pretty good. On an Archangel is different. I necessarily wouldn't leverage it there, but
see, I think I don't think you ever actually do it, but it's the threat of it there.
Yeah, that's because right.
You know, this Archangel is naturally speed 7, and it's not like a free strike or 2 is going to cripple it just because of the damage spirals. So, like, if you take it up to effectively speed 9. Like, it threatens 14 inches now.
Yeah.
And that's not nothing.
Yeah. You can find a landing zone for it.
I mean, even if you can't necessarily get in melee with, like, say, an enemy caster, if you can still charge at 12 inches, it's usually going to be enough to put the fear of God in whatever caster that's there, as long as it doesn't die the next turn.
Yeah.
So, like, again, it's not nothing necessarily.
So,
I don't know. It feels weird, and that's a list that I'd have to play with.
Yeah, so that list, these lists, very cool, very different. You don't usually see anything like this, so it's kind of neat that these kind of lists are starting to surface.
Yeah, I liked his comments after the event, too.
Do you have those handy?
I can summarize them quickly.
All right, yeah, good enough.
But, like, they'd be not necessarily his words as much as mine, but actually, hold on, I can find them, because he put a thing on the Legion page.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I think he was talking about how his, like, thoughts on
how conclusion, the models
performed.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Conclusion from Legion Weekend. Heavies are overall one def arm, mat pow, too low, while 2 points too expensive. Yeah, that sounds about right. Mat 6 across the board is fucking ridiculous, and I still don't understand why we are all, like, the Land Sharks are 11-18s. Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all, but what do I know?
Because Tenacity still exists in the minds of the developers.
It exists in Signar.
Shut up.
Does that count?
Nope.
All right. Bladedness units need an overhaul. I don't necessarily disagree with that either, although the only ones he was using were Hex Hunters and Black Frost Shard, so...
I think that's the point.
Yeah. None of the other ones were worth taking. Solos are excellent, which, yeah, we've got a good stable of solos. Nobody's ever complained about that.
Yep.
Kralix with I think, the only one who gets a little weird, but that's just because Blight Spasm is a little weird. But
it's a strange ability.
Yeah, but like Poison and Weaken are both good, so that's fine. Quote, for the love of God, why is the Archangel range 10, not 12? I don't know, why is it D3 plus one shots? These are the questions that need answering. Nobody has ever adequately explained this one to me, and yet here we are.
Because if it wasn't D3 plus one, it'd be two.
Yeah, I mean, at least you could plan around that.
That's fair. I mean, you could plan around two already.
I mean, yeah, but like if you rate a fighter two, maybe drop him a couple more points so it's worth it.
I know.
You can look at him and then look at the Storm Raptor and just go, yeah, but this.
It's like that Old Spice commercial.
Look at me, now look back, or look back at me, now look back at the bird, now look back at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then overall, a medium tier faction that requires a lot of good matchups and favorable terrain to get a win and do well. I don't know that you necessarily require the favorable matchups, but yeah, we definitely require terrain to not suck.
Yeah.
Which can make certain events and certain things really hard when you show up and, you know, there's five pieces of terrain on a table, or it's like giant 40k terrain where it's like, okay. This is definitely weird.
Yeah.
There's also been recently, you know, I've heard things of different places going, oh, we're going to do this like a WTC style terrain. We're like, this is rough. And like, it's rough terrain. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? Well, it offers no defensive benefit except you need Pathfinder to go through it. It's like, cool, there's like four pieces of this on the table that does nothing for me. Like,
yeah, what? that's effectively open.
Yeah, it's like, this. That's great if, you know, people don't have access to Pathfinder and you can play a decent scenario game, but in a lot of cases that's literally just a, oh, okay, so I'm just going to avoid it because it literally doesn't do anything for, there's no reason to be near it.
Yeah, minor inconvenience.
And in our case, it's like, wow, I can completely ignore it. But also it means a large portion of this table is now just a shooting gallery. Ooh, this is bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was cool of Tom to play it and get into the LCQ that way. And I can't say I necessarily disagree with any of his after-the-game thoughts.
Yeah.
Definitely going to steal that Thagrash 1 list, though.
Yeah, try it out. I want to
see if I can make that work.
Yeah. There's been talk about Saren recently.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. Have you been paying attention to it? Because I'm still just very disappointed in Saren, and I can't take her seriously anymore.
I'm going to type Saren into Discord really fast, see what I can pull up. So I know Omnis has been playing it. Or no, sorry. This was something else. It was... This is good radio. Okay, and click.
I'm assuming all this will get edited out anyway, so it's fine.
The Twitch video is gone. Perfect.
Woo!
It gets edited out automatically if you don't talk during it.
Well, see, now this isn't going to be edited out because we're talking.
Yep.
All that nice empty space.
All right, well, this isn't working. So, it is working. Nope, it's gone.
Is it working?
Nope, it's gone. It's gone. Oh, so, okay. We've got some matchups for Saren, at least, so... Saren versus Sylvestro, Saren versus Siege, Saren versus Cross 2. That's interesting. I'm not sure. I'm trying to find the list itself. Oh, here we go. Saren won. So these are the lists that won the UK Invitational. We've got, so whoever that is, I'm sorry, I don't have the name in front of me.
Say sorry again.
Sorry? I feel like I just got tricked.
Ah, Canadian accents. Okay. I love it.
So we got Saren 1 with in Oracles of Annihilation, which, again, strange. Proteus, Zerial, Succubus, a Shepherd, two Hellions, a Feral Geist, two Primal Archons, Hermit of Henchhold, Feral Valkyries, Swamp Gobbers, Bellows Crew, and two Thrones of Everblight. For a second, my brain was like, this list is illegal, and then I remembered Theme Remix happened.
That's been so long since anyone's seen Saren that it just seems wrong upon looking at it.
That is a very light battle group.
Yeah, it seems like it, although like, you're banking on feet keeping everything alive, so...
Yeah, feet's actually pretty good for this list. Primal Archons are beefy, Thrones are beefy, Feral Valkyries are beefy, Hammered of Henchhold will just keep something alive for one attack longer than it should be.
Yep, so also worth noting that Valks and Primal Archons are not benefiting from her feet.
Oh, right. It's everything's friendly faction.
It sure is. So Thrones get hard to kill, and Hermit helps keep them alive.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
The battle group gets slightly harder to kill, but, like, Primal Archons are naturally pretty beefy, so, like, they're probably okay. Yeah. I feel like their job is to just stand near Thrones anyway and be like, oh, you're going to come in, knock down.
Yeah, countercharge, knock down.
So that's at least a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this is a weird one.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it seems like it would be, honestly. It seems like this would be a very frustrating positioning list to play against.
Yeah.
But also probably not super difficult.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to play Primal Archons yet?
I've played with one. I proxied it a couple times. Okay. I haven't gone like an Oracles build with two.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, they're not... So if you're comparing them directly to other Archons, they're definitely, like, bottom two. Okay. I think them and, like, the Deunion are,
Deunion
like...
Archon?
Yeah, are, like, the bottom of the pack as far as, like, Archons go. As far as just, like, a super solo, it's not bad. It's hard to compare and contrast because, obviously, they all do different things.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're looking for a pure beat stick and you say, look at that versus, like, the Menite Archon, like, the Menite wins out almost every time.
Okay.
If you're looking for, you know, kind of that weird control-y aspect, like, I think it has that down, but, like, the Morrowind Archon, I think, does that in a different way. I think Theramite one does that, and I've had to play into Double Void once or twice now, and that's just obnoxious.
Yeah, you've made your thoughts quite clear on those things.
Those things are fucking stupid, and I will say that till the day I die. When I'm running a Fianna list with double Wind Ravager bubbles and going, oh, I'm going to abuse terrain and make sure the stupid thing can't actually get in, and it still has spray tens that it's just throwing out and going, oh, yeah, I might not be doing as much as I'd like, but hey, look, I just killed three guys, and I just killed three here, and now I'm going to charge in and kill one or two and bounce behind you. I'm out of Wind Ravenger again. Here's a spray. It's just like, what the fuck?
It sounds really obnoxious.
The things just go wherever they want, and... Like, I'm running what I thought was one of the most effective ways to stop them from doing things, and they were still doing a ridiculous amount of work.
Yeah.
Like, God!
That's amazing.
I hate those things so much. The point here being, if you compare, like, the Primal to that, the Primal is just not great.
Yeah, well, let's not do that. The Primal Archon is fine. Yeah. It's got that weird Shadowbind aura.
Yeah, on its own, it's not awful, I don't think. The Shadowbind aura, I think, will come up more than people think. Countercharge knockdown is a thing that people have to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still fairly beefy. Like, it's still hard to remove off a flag. It's still hard to do, like, interact with in any meaningful way. One thing worth noting is all the Archons are not immune to stationary. So if that's available to your opponent, that can be a way to stop it from doing anything.
Are they not?
They're not immune to stationary. They're practically, or they are immune to, I think, everything else.
Really?
But they can be stationaried.
So, okay. That's a weird exclusion.
I mean, I think it was done on purpose just so they couldn't be immune to everything, right?
Yeah, I get it. It's just curious.
It allows your opponent a way to interact with them and do something.
Right.
So, you know, if you're playing against Kador, watch out for Sorcia 1. It's a thing. But, yeah, as a whole, I could see taking two of them in certain Oracle's lists. I've tried one in a couple other places. I think they have a decent spot with, like, Thags 1 because the aura and Fog of War does affect them. I think they've got a halfway decent spot in a couple other lists. I've looked at one with Lilith 3 just because of the knockdown on top of Stationary, on top of possibly Shadowbind if you're running Hex Hunters. So it gives you a little bit more control in the list. I think there's some places for them, but I think it's going to be more of a cognizant choice of that you want these here for this reason, rather than, say, like, Menoth with the Menite Archon, where they're just windmill slamming one or two into every list.
Yeah.
Or Signar with the Morrowind, where they're just windmill slamming them into every list. Or Mercs, where they're just going, hey, I can take four of these, and fuck you, that's why.
How many can I take? Great. Throw them all in.
I mean, I think realistically they can take six in a list if they really want to.
Slaps list. This baby can hold so many Archons.
Yeah, pretty much. Spoken memes are always the best.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. So the other list, we'll quickly go over it because he played it, looks like, in the last two rounds. Kallus 2 versus Mojar, and Kallus 2 versus Cross 2. The Kallus 2 list was in Ravens of War with Golab, Double Harriers, Double Rakes, Succubus, Double Hellions, Double Martyr, Double Deathstalker, Double Max Raptors, Double Hellmouths, and a unit of Feral Valkyries.
So stupid question, just as before I forget. Didn't Cross 2 get mentioned in the first three games?
Yes.
Was that one in Infernals and one in Mercs?
They're actually both Infernals.
Oh. Alright.
Yeah.
Wonder why he switched lists.
Yeah, it might have been his off list was different, and he thought maybe Kallus 2 was a better matchup.
I could see that, or it could have just been list composition, honestly, thinking about it.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't have all the lists in front of me, and I don't even know who this was. I'm trying to find it, but
we'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. So what do you think of that Kallus 2 list? It's double, double, double.
Yeah, it seems like a fairly, I don't want to say common, but like the more common version of like a Kallus 2 Ravens, right? So like double Raptors with Kallus has been a thing for forever, basically. Hellmouths hold zones. What was this battle group?
Golab, Double Harriers, Double Rake.
Double Rake seems weird. Golab makes sense.
Yeah.
The Harriers are free, so that's fine. That helps with your Raptors and everything else, and the Deathstalkers. Double Rake seems weird. I can see it, because you're just using them to slam things or get in and light something on fire, but...
Yeah.
It seems off to me.
So I looked up, it's Watt? I think it's Jason Watt?
Oh, probably.
Maybe? So that's who was playing these lists.
Okay, well, he's definitely a competent player, so I guess I'll default since he clearly won with them. What do I know, comparatively speaking?
That's results-oriented thinking right there.
Yeah, I'd say so. The rakes just seem weird. I guess, like, thinking about it, you can overrun them.
Yeah, I've enjoyed rakes with Kallus too. Like, I've played them, and they're pretty good.
It's a 20-inch walking threat, so that's not Sounds bad.
Right. Yeah. Like, they're def 15, which is kind of obnoxious at times, with stealth.
Right. 15, 14, you can definitely get around and behind things.
Yeah.
And because of extended control, I mean, it's only, I say only, but it's only a 24-inch control. Depending on where Kallus is, that's probably okay.
Yeah, it's basically the table.
Yeah, once you get to the mid-game, I think you have to watch a little bit, but
yeah,
you're probably fine.
Double Raptors, obviously, because that's the best unit in Ravens.
Yeah, arguably. I still don't like Raptors as much as other people do.
Yeah, I'm still high on them. I know you never really enjoyed them.
I mean, my meta just doesn't give me ways to effectively use them.
Fair enough. So a bunch of lists today we talked about. I'm pretty happy with that.
Seems good.
I think that'll do it for this episode. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about the theme changes in our next episode. Kind of go over what each change means for list building and list diversity. And we hope you guys tune in to listen to that.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea now that, you know, since Themepocalypse version 2.0, and we had some time to actually playtest things and be able to speak at least as intelligently as we speak on anything else. That's a good qualifier.
Perfect. All right, so join us on the Discord. As always, a link to that will be in the show notes. You got any upcoming events, Ryan?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's getting on to December and we're getting into Christmas time, so...
Yeah, I guess it's kind of...
Yeah, events have kind of taken a backseat to just hanging out and hobbying and, you know, spending time with people. Yeah. Assuming you want to spend time with people. I mean, I don't because I'm an antisocial recluse, but other people apparently do, so...
Gotcha.
Ooh, you know what? No, I have a painting clinic coming up.
Oh, nice.
Beginning of December.
Where's that?
There you go. That is going to be at... No, that's going to be at Iron Buffalo, which is another hobby shop in the area.
Iron Buffalo. What a name.
Yeah. It's like a coffee shop slash comic book store slash gaming space. They don't really run events there, but like they definitely have tables for like Magic and Keyforge and D&D and things like that. But it's also like a big area where if you just want to come in and like get a latte and paint, like they have like a coffee shop on site where you can just hang out and do that.
Well, that's really awesome.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat. Cool. So yeah, I will be there on December 7th. That's getting run.
All right. If it's got a Facebook event, send that to me and I will link it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, you can do that right now.
So thank you everyone for listening to the 54th episode of Blightbringers. We'll talk to you again soon.
Or maybe we won't.
Yeah, who knows? Could be another month.
Could be 2 months. Ooh. We could just disappear.